Hi, anyway, welcome to day two. I'm Richard Marks, ASI's Research Director, and this is the session where, having talked tactics, we get the ball out and actually look at some data, because we're going to look at measurement, specifically the cross-platform element of measurement, and also we're going to be looking a lot at nonlinear this morning. So one of the things we thought would be a good idea when we set up the APAC ASI conference would be that we'd have the two events informing and guiding each other. And certainly one of the main themes at the European ASI in recent years has been the development of hybrid systems. Now, the emphasis is still very much on development, but there's been a lot of progress, and we thought it might be useful if I was to kick off with a presentation trying to summarize the current state of play for hybrid measurement of TV and video. So what you're going to see is a bit of a greatest hits presentation, but also, rather like the lady in the lounge last night, it's a cover version, in that it's me showing the best bits of other people's presentations. So I may not do them justice. People in the room who did the presentations may scream at how I'm misinterpreting what they didn't actually mean to say. But we'll see how I get on. So the charts I'm going to be using after my introduction will be taken largely from ASI presentations that have been given over the last couple of years. So we'll see how I get on. So really, what we're looking at is an overview of hybrid systems in development, or let's play Ratings Lego. Because that's really what this is about, adding different things together to create something that's better than the sum of the parts. I notice I've been given 29 minutes. Don't worry, I'm not going to use 29 minutes. This is should be about 20, but I can kick back anyway. There are three key parameters for TV and rating system in terms of the scope they measure. All of the systems under construction have to take decisions about what they actually want to measure. In some cases, due to practical considerations, in other political decisions. All the systems we'll look at aim to include broadcaster online players and related VOD services. That's pretty straightforward. However, as we'll see, not all of them are including SVOD services like Netflix, Amazon, or iFlix. And there is a wider debate about other online services like YouTube and video or non-broadcaster websites. When it comes to content, clearly, all the hybrid systems are measuring programming, but not all are yet attempting to measure advertising. And there's a surprising debate about whether some of them should be measuring advertising, which I'll come on to. There's more commonality about the objective, however, of measuring all relevant devices, whether you're talking three screens, four screens, or five screens. Regardless of the scope of coverage, there does seem to be a growing consensus that hybrid approaches are the way forward for digital and multi-screen measurement. By hybrid, I mean the fusion of variously TAM panel data, online panels, and census server data. This acknowledges that different forms of data collection have unique strengths, and that a hybrid approach can harness those strengths to build a system bigger than the sum of its parts. On this chart, I've made a subjective is a polite way of saying completely personal, evaluation of the various strengths of different types of data collection. Claimed recall, whether that's via survey research, passive via portable or fixed meters, or census data. I can see some people taking photographs. Great to take photographs, but we love that because it shows you're interested, but you will get all these charts online, so you don't need to scribble them down. What we can do is look across the various attributes of that type of data, and then, to make the chart easier, basically hone in on what each type of data is particularly good at. Census, or big data in particular, is strong on accuracy, granularity, speed, and cost. But survey data and panel data is uniquely able to measure demographics and provide an overview of the total market. So bringing them together, creating that Lego, makes a lot of sense. This complementary nature of survey data and big data is something some of you may remember me presenting at last year's APAC ASI when I talked about the IPA's recent white paper on the topic. So that's worth digging out if you didn't get a chance to see it. Meanwhile, there has been a loss of faith in single-source surveys. By single-source, I mean one survey measuring everything. Until relatively recently, these were seen as the holy grail of audience measurement, particularly if shopping data was also gathered from the same sample to provide ROI data. However, in today's complex multimedia systems, there is a realization that the sample sizes required to cover all brands and all platforms effectively makes these sorts of surveys typically cost prohibitive, whilst the demand on the respondents themselves becomes just unreasonable. I reckon I could probably set up a stall outside the hotel and offer passers-by £50 to stand on their heads, and possibly one in 30 would do it, but it does not make that one person representative of the 29 people who told me to bugger off. I'm not ruling out single-source surveys. They do still have a role to play in media planning, particularly when claimed recall can be more acceptable when you're looking at channel choice. However, as we'll see, a number of the hybrid systems do have an element of single source themselves, largely used to fuse and calibrate the various elements together. Now, fusion approaches, of course, are not without their own challenges. By bringing in data from partners, this runs the risk that the data could be withdrawn, that there could be holes in the system if politics intervene, if one of the large players or Rupert Murdoch decides that they don't want their data to be used. Whilst media fusions have been done in the past, they have tended to be one-offs, conducted over a fixed time period and finessed over a number of weeks. Currency trading means that fusions have to be done every day, often in the small hours of the morning. Then there's the complexity of the systems. In the next few slides, you'll see some epic flowcharts. You can almost have a bingo chart game about who's got the most complex flowchart coming up. But the danger is that may give the appearance to clients that the new measurement systems are black boxes, which could undermine their acceptability for trading. Eventually, the market will have to understand and accept them. Now, TV measurement itself has typically been based on high-quality fieldwork and panels. So the fusion sources themselves, the big data, also needs to be impeccably sourced. In some cases, this means allowing third-party audits on data quality. For example, ABC in the UK actually audit the broadcaster player data for BAR before it's ingested. So that sets the context. I'm now going to attempt, in just a couple of slides for each country, to summarise seven initiatives that are at different stages of development. These are ones that I'm aware of via ASI or presentations that I happen to have been present at and asked people afterwards if I could borrow a couple of slides. I'm sure there are others that could be mentioned, so please do bring them up in the Q&A at the end of this session. I'm sure I can't do them justice, but as they are based on recent presentations, at the very least it may stimulate you to go off and find them on the ASI website. It's certainly fascinating to compare and contrast them. On the surface, they're all trying to do the same thing: bring together traditional TAM panel and online data, but there's some variation in how they do it and what they want to do. So, firstly, we'll start with BARB in the UK. The most significant development there is that in September of 2015, they published the TV player report. This is a separate audited measure of broadcaster player streams based on tagging within the broadcaster players put in by Kantar. They've been publishing data on that since September 2015, and here we have an example of the top 50 on-demand programs. And that highlights one of the initial issues around this, which is that you'll see some nice big figures, you know, hundreds of thousands for some of the programs on the BBC, but back in the days when these were reported as streams, some of these figures were millions. So that's one of the adjustments the broadcasters have had to have made, moving from millions of streams to hundreds of thousands of viewers. Meanwhile, we can see an interesting breakdown in terms of device. Tablets have now been confirmed as overtaking PCs for video streaming. In terms of operating systems, iOS, despite a lower penetration, has a significant lead over Android in the UK for video streaming on mobile devices. We can see that access by time of day, broadly mirrors the shape for traditional TV viewing. Can anyone hear music? It's like a musical bed for a DJ, you know, you just sort of to keep people awake. However, whilst these charts don't, what these charts don't show most significantly is any demographics, because they don't have them. These are taken and published separately from the currency data. They sit in a separate silo, and they don't have links to other types of viewing. That is really the next stage. And that's called Dovetail, which at last year's APAC event, Justin Sampson flew out to actually talk to us about what the plans for that were. Now, Barb do already measure online viewing on the core Barb panel via software meters, but the sample sizes are low, and they haven't published the data because they want to add census data in. The objective is viewing by demographics across all platforms. The state here is that they're currently running prototypes with Kantar and Nielsen, and in an ASICast interview last week, Justin said that a decision on what approach to go with is expected this summer. So there's some nervous people from those companies wondering who's going to get the green light. That would imply a go-live for currency data at some point in 2017. And that interview with Justin will be up on the ASI website last week in number 30 in our ASICast theory series. 10-minute interviews if you haven't accessed them yet, but handily available for your iPod and all major devices. Moving on, and arguably the system that's at the most advanced stage of development is that of Nielsen in the US. This is being described as total content ratings and is being rolled out to clients as we speak so they can test the data. I think CBS in the US is currently poring over the data. So we can probably expect that this will be live this year. The approach was presented at the ASI in Venice last November by Nielsen's Megan Clarken and actually won the best paper, and there is a video of the presentation on the site. It's a system with many moving parts. One of the more unique ones is that the process ingests Facebook data to provide demographics for online viewing. This is a result of Nielsen having an agreement with Facebook and is driven by concerns that even a TAM panel the size of the US can struggle when it comes to providing a source of online demographics. This chart from Megan's presentation makes a very good point. Here we can see that when we start with a very large sample of tablets in the US, by the time we get down to a specific type of content on a specific demographic, we actually get down to single figures in terms of samples, even on that size of TAM panel. Hence why US Nielsen feels the need to supplement that demographic data, in this case from Facebook. In other cases, that supplementary source can be a separate online panel, as in the Netherlands. And the next example I have for you is SKO's video integration model for the Dutch market. SKO have been presenting progress on this particular initiative over the last few years at ASI. It brings together the TAM panel of 1,200 homes, I promised you some nice flowcharts, a separate online panel of 5,000 individuals, and online census data. The first stage was to fuse census data with the online panel. This has been done and went live in January of this year, so that's one step on from Bar because it's online video viewing with demographics. And they're producing video viewing data for, they claim, the first time in the world in the currency. The next stage is to fuse that data to the TAM panel. However, that TAM panel is only 1,200 homes and does not measure online viewing, so they don't have that single source, that hook element that Barb has with the TAM panel of 5,000 homes to aid the fusion. However, very few countries do have TAM panels the size of the UK or the US, so I think it may be that this approach and that in Sweden may prove of greater interest around the world. The idea of a separate online panel may actually be more applicable to smaller markets than attempting to measure everything on the core people meter panel. Also noticeable is how many agencies are involved in the SKO process. GfK, Nielsen, Comscore, and Kantar Media are all moving parts within the SKO system. The situation in France is an interesting one, and I only actually came across this yesterday when Frederic mentioned that this was about to go live and very kindly sent me through this chart. The interesting thing here that makes it unique with the other countries I'm talking about is that Médiamétrie also run a panel for Google that looks at four-screen measurements, and that covers PC, smartphones, and tablets on a very large separate panel. So again, the word hybrid comes up with the launch this year of cross-platform TV ratings. I'm not going into detail on this, and I suspect we'll be examining this in more detail at the ASI in Europe once it has gone live. But it's clearly involving bringing together, again, a TAM meter panel, an online panel, and also site-centric measurements. As I say, hopefully we'll have more detail on this in our next ASI conference. I'm also not going to dwell in great detail on Sweden either, for two reasons. Firstly, Magnus Anschelm is going to talk us through this in this session, and this also won best paper, some of you may remember, at last year's APAC ASI, because it was seen as a very useful template for the development of cross-screen TV systems. However, just to keep the flowchart theme going, here's how it works in Sweden. And there are some similarities to the Dutch approach in that it involves an online panel of 3,000 people. You have also noticed, hopefully, that this and the Dutch initiative both describe themselves as video measurement systems, not TV currencies. This widening of the definitions of TAM panels to VAM panels is a significant development, and Magnus is going to be showing us some data from YouTube and Netflix, for example. The Barb UK approach, by contrast, is limited to broadcaster video at the present, with some debate about even the inclusion of other parties. And there can be a traditional broadcaster fear about giving new entrants to the markets the oxygen of currency TAM data, but I do personally think that is a short-sighted view. Finally, a couple of initiatives that are very much at the planning stage, but arguably are able to benefit from the learnings of others. Earlier this year, the Danes awarded a new contract to Kantar Media to build a new hybrid system to go live in January 2017. What I find really interesting here is that whilst the TV panel is being expanded to 1,200 homes, it will not measure online viewing at all. They're not even trying. The Nielsen and UK panels have some elements of single source in that the TAM panel online viewing is metered. In this case, the TAM panel will simply focus on doing what people meters do best, measuring TV sets, and a completely separate digital meter panel will run alongside. Remember what I was saying about the dangers of having too much load on the respondents. This is what's driving what they're doing in Denmark. So this will be integrating web profile data from a wider cookie panel and census data. So here you have it all in one handy chart, very much a case of ratings Lego. Meanwhile, as we heard yesterday, BARC in India are currently judging an RFP for digital measurement. This is a process which encompasses three elements, as we heard: digital measurement on the panel, census measurement, and potential fusion. As in Holland and Sweden, BARC are stating a very clear ambition to measure all video, not just broadcaster video, and to measure all forms of video advertising. And as we heard, the ambitious intent is to have this live next year, so watch this space. So, it's about time I left the stage for our featured speakers today, and I'll sum up with what I think are the main themes emerging, and we may pick up on this in the panel at the end. I do think we're seeing a trend, and we talked about this at last year's APAC event, not just for hybrid systems, but also the hybrid use of contractors, picking and choosing the best of what the various TAM operators and online operators have to offer. It also requires a much closer technical collaboration between a currency and its stakeholders, as codes need to be put into players or APIs established and tech guys talk unto tech guys, and that process can take a while. As Nielsen's Megan Clarkin put it recently, audience measurement is now a team sport. An element of single source is very useful, in particular putting software meters on TAM people meter panels. But is that a realistic respondent load? An awful lot depends on the size of the TAM panel itself. Is it large enough for online demographics, as Barbara hoping, or is a separate online panel actually what's needed? It may be that the Dutch and Swedish approaches may have a wider application, as I was saying. There may be a need for additional sources of demographics even beyond that to get truly granular data, so it will be interesting to track the Nielsen Facebook initiative. It is apparent from early data, and I think yesterday we heard a bit of a discussion about this, that minute-by-minute viewing levels are considerably lower than the streams and requests that the clients have been used to seeing, partly because the bots and the automated access is stripped out, but also because we're looking at minute-by-minute viewing as opposed to simple access. The services we've looked at do vary considerably in terms of their definitions of what is television and video, but also in their ambitions to measure online advertising or be effectively just a planning currency. I do think that the boundaries between different media currencies are also starting to erode as a result, particularly the boundaries between TV and online currencies, and that's a theme that Jenny Beck will return to in a separate paper this afternoon. And it is clear that the agencies are making real efforts in being transparent in their approaches, as they know that black boxes scare people. The downside to that, though, is how many people actually understand the flowcharts they're showing, and perhaps that transparency may actually be scaring people. So on balance, it is better to know what's going on, but there's an awful lot of complicated flowcharts and schematics floating around about how these panels work. And finally, although we've talked a lot about online census data, there is an additional source of data that could benefit currency systems, data from digital set-top boxes. And just in the last month, there have been headlines from the trade press in the US and in the UK about Nielsen and Barb linking and being linked with or courting the suppliers of set-top box data on the basis that they can augment their systems with them. So that's a bit of a whistle-stop tour, bringing you up to speed, hopefully, on where things are at. I'm sure there are gaps in that, and we can talk about those.